hppodcraft.com.
Hello, folks, and welcome to our exclusive content offered only on Patreon.
It's the bonus episode for January. We're just doing a hodgepodge of stories for this new year, calling it New Fears. So we didn't have any particular theme we needed to address for this show. Just so happens, we're a little late to the review party here, but this movie, Cats, came out in December.
It sounded so old.
I know.
This movie, Cats, have you heard it? We were challenged by a listener to cover this movie as bonus content for our show, mostly because of the sanity-blasting reviews that it is getting.
Right. You and I had kind of worked ahead at the end of the year so that we could actually take some time off for the holidays.
That's right.
And we'd recorded some of this month's shows early, but knew we still had to knock out the bonus content when we got back from break. Didn't know what we were going to do. And then there was this tweet by a fellow named Zach Frost, who tweeted out some images of pull quotes from Cats reviews and wrote, "The people who have seen Cats sound like characters in an H.P. Lovecraft story." And these were pull quotes like, "I have seen sights no human should see. I felt the light inside me slowly fading. And, oh God, my eyes." And then a Twitter user called New Year New Deer retweeted this and wrote to us, "Do Cats for the show, cowards." So I then retweeted that, and I asked our listeners if we should, and there was actually a lot of enthusiastic support for the idea. Now, given these were early days of the movie coming out, Look, I don't like anybody calling me a coward, so
no way.
That baiting worked. I reached out to you, and I said, is this something that we should do?
I said yes.
Mm-hmm.
And as our listeners know, Chad and I, we love bad movies, yes. So I thought that this would be a great idea to cover this movie on our show.
We agreed to do it. It's kind of like when I was a little boy and I was riding my big wheel down the street and I thought, I wonder what would happen if I just stuck my thumb down there and ran over it.
Oh, God.
So I made the decision to do that and I immediately regretted it. Which is very similar to what happened here. Because the thing was, in the heat of the moment when this unruly internet mob was forming to mock Cats,
Yeah,
I wanted in. It sounded great. But As the days and weeks passed, you know, pretty much any funny take on this movie was done already.
Yeah,
I didn't know what we were going to say about it that was interesting or clever. And also, the realization set in that I now had to see Cats.
Yeah.
I mean, this was our small winter break that we took. And although it sounded like no big deal when we agreed to do it, the idea of, like, putting on pants, going out to the theater to see this totally became an albatross around my neck.
I was planning on going by myself, but my eldest wanted to go with me, and he's 8 years old. He likes to criticize pretty much anything, really, but he watches videos on YouTube where they find mistakes in movies, and he loves it. He loves it when they make mistakes, and it gives him some sense of, I don't know, superiority. He just gets really into it. And I said, well, if I take you to this movie, maybe you'll write a review, and I'll let you read your review of this movie on our show. But don't get your hopes up, because he didn't do that. None of that happened. He didn't write anything. He went to the movie.
That's a great idea for Albie to do that for our show, actually. But we should have thought about it, because it's this dumb musical. There's no plot to really talk about. Dude, our decision-making last month was a little like my first kiss. Sloppy, hasty, done in a closet that smelled like grandma's. We just, you know, I think we were tired. We weren't thinking things through. Because Albie reviewing a movie would be amazing. We'll have to come up with something for him to do.
Sure, yeah.
Sometime. Maybe that's Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends where they meet Dracula.
Oh, my God. That would be perfect.
He might enjoy that one.
That's a whole other thing. We're on
our task.
We should stick on topic.
We'll try and do that.
With this whole pavlova of us going to this movie, me and Albert, my youngest heard we're going to go. He wants to go now.
Okay.
And that if that kid's going to go, Rachel wants to go because she's always liked Cats. And so she's also heard the reviews, but she goes, well, I like the music, so it probably won't be too bad.
Wow.
And now, Rachel, she went to the original production in London when she was little, like 4 or 5 years old, with Brian Blessed as old Deuteronomy.
Oh, wow.
And her dad, he just told this story. They were waiting in line to get autographs, and there's like a little line on the stage. So the actors are all dressed up, and this is the intermission. They're dressed up in their cat outfits, and Brian Blessed's like on the cat throne, just sitting there, and people are coming up. Michael, who's read for our show, my father-in-law, went out to get a drink, came back, up on the stage is Rachel, little baby Rachel, sitting on Brian Blessed's lap.
Oh, wow.
Just like talking with him. And like the line's gone. There's no more people getting autographs. She's just up there hanging out with Brian Blessed. And he's like pointing things out to her and like talking, and they're laughing together. And he's like, what is going on? And then finally, you know, once the music starts coming on and the cats are creeping back onto the stage, he kind of gently just kind of ushers her off, you know, like says, okay, you got to go now, bye. And then she waves. And then as she leaves, the whole audience just like gives her an applause because I guess she's been up on stage during the intermission, and it freaks her out so much she cries and runs off the stage. Oh boy.
Man, it's always so funny when kids react to positive things with horror because it's loud or they have no frame of reference and don't understand it.
Oh, what is going on?
That's a cute story.
So then Rachel's cousin heard we were going to go, and she liked the musical, so she wanted to go. So now there's five of us who are going to the local picture house here in Keithley.
Well, it's on them because it sounds like everybody volunteered, right?
They did.
They didn't ask them. But still, that's a lot of pressure to have the whole family with you.
Oh, my God.
Because you are the person who initially started this.
Yeah.
And that's one reason. Sometimes I like seeing movies by myself.
Yes.
Because for whatever reason, I feel responsible for the movie.
Mm-hmm.
No matter who decided to go see it or anything, if the movie turns out to be crappy, I feel like it's my fault somehow.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry, you know, that you didn't enjoy yourself. I don't know why that is, but so it's sometimes hard to take a thing in because I'm checking with the other person to see if they're enjoying themselves. I'm sorry this snowballed for you into a whole family trip.
Well, yeah. I had seen the musical on stage back in the Quad Cities when I was a teenager, and I didn't like it.
Right.
And I like musicals, but there really isn't much of a story in there. It's a collection of songs about cats with a very loose narrative. Andrew Lloyd Webber used T.S. Eliot's poems from his book about cats called Old Possum's Book of Practical Cats, and that came out in 1939. Now, Eliot wrote poems to his godchildren under that assumed name, Old Possum, because he got so popular. They collected all of these poems that he wrote for other people's kids. They weren't really intended to be published, but he's like, well, I could probably make a mint on this, and of course he did. They're just poems about a particular cat, so like, there's the railway cat. Let's have a poem about him. That's it. There's nothing really interesting or narrative about it. It's just like, this is a description or a little, not even an anecdote. These things are just about a cat.
Yeah, I wouldn't hold T.S. Eliot responsible for this show at all.
No.
Any more than I would hold Lovecraft accountable for any Durlath stories spawned by an entry from this commonplace book. Seriously, it's kind of the same thing.
Well, the songs are actual translations of the poems. I mean, they're pretty much word for word.
Are they?
Oh, yeah. They're really close. But
the idea to assemble it into this show.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
It probably works
better on the page where it's kind of cute and that's the end of it.
Now, we talk about Lovecraft and T.S. Eliot on the show before because Lovecraft didn't like T.S. Eliot very much as a writer. He wrote a parody of T.S. Eliot's Wasteland called Waste Paper, A Poem of Profound Insignificance.
Jeez.
And Lovecraft and Eliot strangely had many things in common.
What a bitch.
Totally bitchy.
You know that he was like jealous. Come on.
Supposedly, from what I've read, there's a lot of stuff out there about Lovecraft and Eliot, is that they actually came from very similar backgrounds, but there's a divergence with Lovecraft's atheism and Eliot became religious. He converted to Catholicism, I believe. His worldviews very much had that kind of God has a plan sort of take on it, whereas Lovecraft is, no, the universe is a cold, horrible place, and humanity is just a blip on the screen. So that was kind of what he didn't like about, because Eliot was sort of saying, oh, I'm into the darkness, and Lovecraft's like, oh, please.
You are not into the darkness.
But, you know, but one of the big differences between the two is Eliot was super successful and Lovecraft died poor.
Yeah.
Now, Lovecraft might have actually liked this collection of cat poems because, as you know, he was a huge cat fan.
Right.
But who knows, because this book came out after Lovecraft's death.
I'm sure he would have hated that book. I just know it in my bones because it's too cutesy. And this is, look, Lovecraft's a guy who likes made up words, but I just think Jellicle would drive him crazy. I think this is one way I'm similar to Lovecraft because I too like cats, but I don't go in for the overly cutesy stuff. I admit I have a pet peeve, no pun intended.
Yeah.
I hate those memes with dogs or cats where you're hearing the animal's thoughts and they're illiterate.
Oh, right.
Ken Has Cheeseburger was clever. You get that one.
Mm-hmm.
But for example, you know, I get on YouTube and I want to see some cute animals frolicking and being confused by the world, making friends, prancing around, entertaining me.
Sure, yeah,
I hate it when suddenly text comes up in front of the dog like, Mommy, those ducks is cute. Can I meet them? Suddenly the animal's Jar Jar Binks. Look, if we're going to have memes or cute videos in which we've, first of all, suspended disbelief and are hearing the relatable thoughts of an animal, play to the top of the intelligence. Why make them stupid idiots?
It's true.
I want to see more Oscar Wilde-style bon mots. Bon mots. Anyway, back to the singing animals.
When I saw the stage show when I was a teenager, I couldn't really understand the lyrics.
No.
And if I did, I'm not sure I would have been any more engaged. But the plot in the musical, it's barely existence. The Jellicle cats, like you said, is a made-up word by Eliot. gather together once a year and perform at the Jellicle Ball. One cat, Old Deuteronomy, judges the cats, and the cat that is worthy is given a new life on the Heaviside Lair, which is maybe heaven or something. We don't really explain what it is. So the cats just do a song about themselves. Like, I think I should go. This is me.
Is that what it is? They're like auditioning with the songs?
Yeah.
Like American Idol or something?
Yeah, pretty much. This villain, McCavity, captures Old Deuteronomy, but in the end, they rescue him, and a sad cat is picked, the saddest one who does that song, Memories, and Old Deuteronomy takes them up to the Heaviside Lair.
All very confusing.
It has some great songs that got stuck in my head, like Jellicle Cats is really catchy and has been haunting my memory since I've seen that, because, of course, my children like the music and it's being played in the car and all those things. Memories is a nice song. Mr. Mistopheles, it's catchy, gets in there. That Railway Cat song also. Before I actually saw this movie, I have a pretty good sense of what I was getting myself into.
Yeah, I sort of did, but not really, because I had heard some of the songs, but I actually had never seen Cats before.
Oh.
It is a cultural juggernaut, right? So it's hard to not be aware of it. It's the fourth longest running Broadway show in history. Started in 1981, so it was really prevalent when we were kids. Andrew Lloyd Webber wrote it. And we were just talking about him a bunch with Phantom, which has a much, much better set of songs. Although when I, you know, when I do think of Cats, I always think of that SNL sketch where there's the hypnotist, the Amazing Alexander, doing a show on Broadway, and they have these man on the street interviews with people who had seen the hypnotist show, and each person says, "I love it. It was much better than Cats. I'm going to see it again and again." Everybody says that.
Yeah.
That was one of my favorite sketches, but unfortunately for the studio, nobody is going to be seeing this movie again and again.
No, no. And of course, I've read the reviews. That's mostly why we've decided to see the thing. And here are some good ones. The filmmakers were so preoccupied with whether or not they could do a heavily CG version of Cats, they didn't stop to think if they should.
So true. The most shocking thing about Cats is that it's somehow worse than you imagined it could ever be. Too much credit, in my opinion.
While it was a challenging musical to adapt to screen, Cats was a mess, and I regret not drinking a lot before seeing it.
Yeah, me too. I was not drunk when I saw it, unfortunately. It instills a Lovecraftian madness in the viewer. The silver screen becomes a billowing veil of darkness. That's what lured us in with reviews like that.
It's true. Cats is a tortured fever dream of a film, the unholy offspring of a coked-up studio executive notes session and a dark ritual intended to summon forth the elder gods. We are all cursed. We are all damned. We are all cats.
Yeah, I don't know. That review is a little proud of itself. I felt as though I was unable to wake up, slowly sinking deeper and deeper into madness. Once it's over, like a dream or nightmare, you will struggle to recall a detail, but that sinking feeling will leave you nauseous. Again, come on. You're baiting me into something that's not even remotely that interesting.
I also watched the trailer, which shows you really what you're going to be getting into.
Yeah.
In the musical, it's just face paint, wigs, tights, and some costumes. You know, like it's very stylized and well suited for dancing, which it should be, the stage production of it.
Yeah.
But the movie, I guess they wanted to keep this dance element, but since there's this thing called special effects, they felt that they must use new technology to fix things that weren't broken with it. And I'm not sure what they did. At first, what it looks like is maybe they had dancers and they put actors' faces superimposed on the dancers'
sometimes
bodies.
Sometimes it looks like that, but I don't think that's...
But that's not it, because the lead actress, Francesca Hayward, is this amazing dancer.
Yeah.
So it's her dancing, and it's her face.
Right.
So why does her face look like it doesn't belong on her body?
I don't know.
Me neither. It's very evident in the trailer. Immediately. It's really unsettling. I think it's Jennifer Hudson, who... her face, it looks like the worst Photoshop.
I know they did motion capture with bodysuits. I mean, I'm pretty sure that's what
they did.
So why the faces are kind of shifting around, I don't know.
It's unsettling, and I'm not sure how someone would go to see this movie to just be entertained in a normal fashion by watching this trailer. Like, immediately it turned me off.
This is the thing that's weird about it. Nobody's going to say, you know, man, I saw that Cats movie. CGI is so good now. I really felt like I was looking at real cats. Nobody's going to say that.
No.
If they remake The Lion King or something, yeah, it's a cash grab, and they're just using technology to repackage something. But you might go, wow, these animals really looked like animals. You know, that was pretty impressive.
Yeah.
But this whole Cats exists in crazy land anyway. It basically looks like it's on a stage set in the movie. So why not just use the costumes?
Now, all of us, me and my family, mm-hmm. an extended family, going to the theater. This is the weekend between Christmas and New Year's.
I didn't see this movie until January 2nd. I put it off forever. Mm-hmm. You had seen it quite a bit before then.
Yeah. Like it was the 28th or something.
And your emails were funny because we were knocking back certain things. And at the end of every one of your emails, you're like, did you see Cats yet? It was like your signature.
Uh-huh.
Because there were, but you know, there were lots of days over the break where we'd just go out to lunch and we'd plan to see the movie next. And I'd be like, oh man, I'm so full. I don't want to go to the movie. I'll just fall asleep, which wasn't true. Heather and I were just lying to each other because she was supposed to travel over the holidays, but she wound up putting the trip off for a bit. So she was around
and
she knew I had to go see this thing and she volunteered to go. And like you, I was planning on going alone, but she was up for it because especially she read Evan Rachel Wood's review of the movie where she said that was the worst thing she'd ever seen. And she felt like she was going to die while she was watching it. Yeah. Which Heather found interesting. So, you know, I waited so long to see this, I actually considered positioning the whole thing like a practical joke so I could just get out of it. Just going, I made you go see Cats. There's no show.
I know you were thinking that, and I would have been so angry with you.
Yeah, it would have not been
I would have really been angry with you. Like, really, truly, because this was a bad experience. It was actually a pretty full theater when I was there. It was very small. It was in the small theater. It wasn't in the big one. We're there. Kids had their candy. I had my popcorn. I'm good to go. Now, just to warn anybody at this point, I don't know why we have to do this. This is ridiculous, but we're going to spoil the movie.
Right.
So if you had any hopes of being surprised by this movie, stop listening to this. But
We don't want to reveal all the plot twists.
So the opening scene is in an alley. A human woman gets out of an old-fashioned car. So this seems to be set in the 1930s or 40s. Which is when the book was written.
Uh-huh.
She has this sack and she throws it in an alley and then leaves. Then all these cats, you know, as you see in the mm-hmm. creepy cat people, come out to see what's in the bag. And this was unnerving for me. The kids were fine, but Rachel told me afterwards she was feeling the flight or fight reflex.
Sure. I had the fight or flight too because I went, this is going to be 2 hours long, isn't it?
So I still had some hope that this might be so bad it's good, bad. Mm. I still had a little hope at this point.
Yeah.
And then out of the sack crawls the lead cat, Victoria, who is all white and she's got some gray spots. This is actually a pretty dark opening because there was this common practice of unwanted cats being drowned in bags.
Yeah, we heard it in the jar, right?
That's right. Yeah, exactly. And then I actually read a review that discussed the idea that actually all these cats, the Jellicle cats, are dead. And they gather together to do this Jellicle ball, and one of them gets to be reborn.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, actually, that makes a little bit more sense.
I think so.
So maybe that's actually what was going on, because there's a new song that was added to this. It's called something about being with these beautiful ghosts.
Yeah, it's the only good song in the movie, in my opinion.
Yeah, then that was the new one. Well, I wouldn't say it's the only good song
in
the movie. But...
in my opinion, that is the only good song. Everything else is crap. And I was confused right off the bat this movie, because like I said, I'd never seen the show.
Yeah.
There was some show choir concert that I had to go to in high school or something, and they did a number from Cats. And I'd seen like highlights from it on television and stuff, but I had to sit through one whole song, and it was either the opening or the thing in the midpoint. The word Jellicle is repeated in it so many times. I was watching this thing, Jellicle, 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 and I said out loud, I am never seeing this show. while it was still happening. So there was a person at the beginning that threw the cat away, but I didn't understand if there were cats in a human world or if this was some kind of cat world.
No, they're supposed to be humans, in the movie at least.
They made them small in proportion to everything else.
Yeah.
But all the ads and stuff were cat-based.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
Everything around was a cat pun or referencing stuff cats would like, as if they were in this distinct cat world.
Now, our first number is Jellicle Cats, which I think is a catchy song. You obviously hate it.
Catchy, the same way that the crabs are catchy.
There's lots of dancing. That was mostly cool until they did some weird computer thing or there's some terrible wire work, which made it feel off. It's like, why do you need wire work? You don't need any of that stuff in there.
I guess they changed the choreography from the show, which I don't... Why do that if it's been such a hit for so long? They, also... I will say this. Why didn't they update the instrumentation? They're using Wirework, but the keyboard sounds in the score are from 1981. These terrible fake synth horns that sound like bees fighting in a styrofoam cup. And with the loud theater sound, it hurt my ears.
Oh,
I mean, the instrumentation was awful. Why didn't they actually use real? They did all of the CGI and all these different things, but they thought, nope, the Casio keyboard from 1981 is the state-of-the-art synth sound.
Hey, wait a minute. I thought you liked the Casio keyboard in the Phantom.
I like a lot of old keyboard instruments, but there are sounds in them that are in those sound banks that are really terrible that I just don't think people should be using anymore. And in this one, they were using some of the worst, and they just hurt to listen to.
Okay. Yeah. So we get the premise laid out to us that this is some kind of relationship is happening between Mr. Mistopheles and Victoria, which wasn't something in the original play.
Oh, really?
Like, he just shows up and does his song. Like, he's not really, I don't think, in the earlier part of the play. I could be wrong about that.
I thought they were trying to set up some kind of love triangle or something.
They were.
There was that other cat that, for me, he looked like Stephen Colbert. I didn't know who the actor was, but I just kept going to Heather. Does he look like Stephen Colbert? That kind of made it funny for me.
He did look like Stephen Colbert. I've read a lot of the reviews that said that this movie was overly horny and sexualized, but I didn't really get that from it. It didn't occur to me like there were weird sexy things happening.
Yeah, sexy is not the word. I mean, I guess they would exchange lustful kind of looks here and there, and they touched each other a lot. But
it was weird. But it didn't feel. It just felt like they were being cat-like and weren't trying to hump each other. They were just trying to act like cats, which is weird. Weird in and of itself. Old Deuteronomy is played by Judi Dench, so that's a gender swap from the character, which was fine for me. The first big number after that I could remember, maybe there was something, but it's all a haze, was Rebel Wilson's Jenny Any Dots. And this is where it gets really surreal. She's a house cat, very pampered, and she has trained mice, which are human children with digital costumes or something.
I don't know.
It's just looks messed up and weird.
Yeah.
She's got them to perform for her, as well as some cockroaches with human faces, which do a big dance number for her. And then also, she eats some of them.
Uh-huh.
There's lots of slapstick jokes that totally fall flat. My kids love that kind of stuff, and they were dead silent the whole time. Probably traumatized.
Well, nothing was funny about it at all. No timing things, no delivery. The jokes are awful. I could not believe that they say all these like cat puns out loud in the movie.
It was
just awkward. And I really hated all the music. In my opinion, nothing is good in the score until there's this horrifically long synthy dance break in the ballroom or whatever. It goes on forever.
I wanted to crush
my own skull. And then once that ends, which it's crazy to me that there's not a good song. That's a half hour in or something. Then you get the first performance of Memory when you meet, the old rundown cat outside. Memory's okay, but then there's that new song you're talking about, the Taylor Swift. I think she actually co-wrote that.
She did with Andrew Weber.
Yeah, Memory's cloying and tortured, but at least it was a familiar melody. At least it had a melody. But that Taylor Swift song, I thought was actually pretty good. I liked listening to it. I can't believe the show has run so long and how bad the music is. I really hate it.
I can tell you hate it, but there is something.
I'm sorry
to it.
You're having to listen to it.
I get it because it's catchy and I understand why people like it. It's just not for me, really. But the issue with this movie and is after that weirdness that happened, it just became boring. And that is the cardinal sin of this movie. It is boring.
Yeah.
And good, bad movies can't be boring.
No.
They have to constantly surprise you with new ways of being bad. But within the first few minutes of this movie, you've seen all the bad decisions. And now they're just going to be played out over and over again. And there's nothing new.
It just gets like the music. It's incredibly repetitive. Like the action in the movie, it's incredibly repetitive. At the end of the day, it's just cats. Like, they were dumb decisions in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really the source material that sucks, in my opinion. So there was nothing.
Yeah.
You could have done all kinds of different decision making. And this would still be an incredibly boring movie.
Yeah, my 5-year-old was ready to leave in 15 minutes. My 8-year-old lasted a little bit longer.
Uh-huh.
I felt bad for them because they just kept asking, like, when can we go home?
Oh,
when can we leave? How much longer is this? And I'm like, kid, we're got another hour and 45 minutes. I should have asked Rachel to take them out since I was there to watch it.
Yeah.
I had to. But then I know she was curious about it and we all paid money for it. And I don't know. It was one of those things. The next thing I could remember was Rum Tum Tugger.
Uh-huh.
I can't believe that was his name, which came after the Rebel Wilson bit.
Ugh.
And I knew then that I just didn't give a damn, and yeah. I wanted to leave. Yeah. For most of the movie after this, I went to my happy place.
Me too, and it was actually surprisingly easy, which is another reason this movie isn't that bad. Because there's no plot, and things are just kind of, yeah. it's just like a bunch of lights flashing in my eyes. I was up in my head doing all sorts of other things most of the time. Yeah. It wasn't too hard to do.
Next thing I remember is Jennifer Hudson. She plays Grisabella, right. who's this cat who... is old, and she was really popular in her glory days, but they're way behind her now. And she sings that song Memories, which is very popular. A lot of people know it. For some reason, her emotional level is at 11 mm-hmm. the whole time. I don't think it's her fault.
No.
I blame the director. I'm sure it was hard for her to figure out what the hell was going on the set. What am I supposed to be doing? You know, like,
I'm sure.
you got to guide me because this is all crazy that's happening here. You got to tell me how I'm supposed to be performing.
Yeah.
And for some reason, she had snot coming out of her nose the whole time, the whole time, which was very distracting.
They did her dirty, man. Her cat costume looked ridiculous, and
yeah.
she's got snot, and the direction was bad. I couldn't understand any of the words she was singing because it was so overly emotion choked.
And then there was a railway cat number, which I liked relatively by comparison. I like tap dance and I like trains. So there was that. But it's hard to enjoy any of it really because I can see how bored my kids are. You know, in that moment, I'm just like going, oh man, they're just wiggling in the seats. They're like laying over the seats in front of us and rolling around.
Oh my God. Well, I was excited there was some tap dancing in there too, but it didn't last nearly long enough. And I didn't understand why the cats were suddenly so small.
Yeah, the size comparison was all jacked around.
Because they were dancing around on a rail. Which made them like mouse size suddenly.
Yeah, exactly. I thought that too. I'm like, when did they get so tiny? It's ridiculous. Anyway, Idris Elba, he plays the baddie, McCavity, which is a dark brown cat. He's got bright green eyes and magic powers. And he steals away each cat after they do their number so that he can win the Jellicle ball and get to the Heaviside layer.
Which is repetitive. There's no advancing action in his game. It's like, dance number, disappear, dance number, disappear. Although he was funny, whether intentionally or not, he did a couple of things to make me laugh, just because he looks so stupid. And, you know, Idris Elba kind of holds himself with all this gravitas, so I found it amusing.
Yeah, it really felt like a step down. Actually, it felt like 10 steps down for him, personally. But
I mean, you know, you got to roll the dice. For all we know, this could have been the biggest hit of the century. You know, you never know.
You never know. James Corden, he shows up, plays Buster Jones, a cat that sings about how much he likes to eat. So they got a fat guy doing a character who likes to eat a lot of things. Oh,
some of his lines gave me a few chuckles. Maybe the only chuckles I got in the movie that were intentionally. Oh, like he made a joke or two. That was funny.
And Ian McKellen, he plays the aged theater cat called Gus, the theater cat. There's a part where he says, meow, meow, meow.
I love it, yeah.
Like he literally says, meow, 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 meow. And then like licks his... Yeah, it's really, again, you're seeing, I'm like, oh, you're so much better than this.
I know, but dude, those were the best parts of the movie. But when everybody, by this time, a couple of employees had actually come in from the theater because this was the last showing of Cats, and they sat down, and it made it better because they were laughing at things. And anytime Ian McKellen appeared, everybody in the theater started laughing. I thought this definitely would have benefited from a bigger, angrier crowd.
Oh, yeah. If this was maybe like, well, no, you know, I don't think it would necessarily. But well, no, it would have benefited. But
I say angrier because I could really sense it in the audience at the end when that stupid magician, Mr. Mephistopheles.
His
magic stuff. He's like, maybe I can bring her back from that boat that makes no sense where he disappeared her to. And he does this thing and she doesn't come back. He does it again, she doesn't come back. Does it again, she doesn't come back. And this goes on forever. And then every time he doesn't succeed in his magic, they repeat the chorus of the song. I was going crazy.
Yeah. And this was them trying to come up with some story or something to be happening here, because in the musical he just shows up and just does he just sings about how awesome he is, and then he makes her come back. That's the end. So they try to do this thing where he's unsure about his magic powers and that they're kind of egg him on to like use, but just not in the original.
Oh really?
Not that it was any better. It was just more one note, and they were attempting to give it a little bit of something. In the end, Jennifer Hudson gets picked and they go into a balloon into the sky. Whatever.
Idris Elba hanging off of it looking like a moron.
Oh,
that was pretty
God, funny. Yeah. Yeah, it was terrible. And as the credits rolled and the theater lit up, I wanted to call child services on myself for subjecting my children to that. But of course, Albert could see how angry the movie made me, and now he keeps asking me when we could see it again.
Yes.
To spite me. And he's doing it as a joke because he doesn't actually really want to see it himself, but he knows that it's making me mad.
I love it.
And of course, the soundtrack is getting played. And the songs are in the car, they're at home. It's since everybody's going back to school now, I think we're we're past it. I think the Cats phase is now over, even though that Jellicle Cat song is still kind of running perpetually in my mind.
I gotta say, the real horror, if there was any horror to be had in this film, happened in my relationship that night, because I asked Heather, you've probably seen Cats before, right? You know, she's a big theater lover. And she's like, oh, mm-hmm. Yeah, I went to go see it at the, you know, sort of Broadway theater in St. Louis when I was little. You know, I just knew I liked theater. I went to go see Cats. So I was like, oh, okay, cool. So we're sitting there watching the movie, and she's kind of nodding her head and smiling when some of the songs are coming up, like, oh, I remember this, I remember that.
Mm-hmm.
And then she leans over, she goes, you know what? I think I saw this twice. I know these songs better than I thought I did. I mm-hmm. saw it twice at the theater. I was like, oh, okay. So I'm sitting there watching it. It's going on. It's getting worse and worse. And then I go, she saw it twice? Like, Heather went and saw this, knew what it was, and then went again. I'm like, I've been with her for almost 20 years. Like, it's really one of those
times. I don't know this woman.
Yeah, I was like, who is this person I married? I felt cold inside. I was like, you know, it was like, she's a stranger. It was, you know, like a Stephen King story when you find out your husband's a serial killer or something.
Right,
she saw Cats twice? What's going on? So that was the boy. True Lovecraftian terror for me in the
film. My God. In conclusion, strange, unnerving, and very, very boring.
We both learned our lesson. Do not respond to provocation. Again, somebody calls us a coward. Just take it.
Yeah.
Don't let them tell you what to do, because this was a mistake.
If being a coward means not having to watch Cats, then a coward I long to be.
Indeed. For now, I'm Chad Pfeiffer.
And I'm Chris Lackey, and you've been listening to the H.P. Lovecraft Literary Podcast.
At hbpodcraft.com and Patreon.
hbpodcraft.com.